The food was brought out on humongous plates. The elders started to feast first, all eating from one plate. The men did the same, then the boys, before the women and girls had their share. Singing and dancing followed the feast. While the jubilation was going on, I was placed in the hands and care of older women who couldn't dance much anymore. They held me, smiled at me, and called me little husband. They started telling me stories about the community. Whenever I gave them a smile, they remarked, "He loves stories. Well, you came to the right place." I smiled a bit as I could visualize my grandmother's happy face at the end of this story. Some of my traveling companions were snoring, as the late night breeze caused my eyes to become heavy. When we woke up the next morning, all the smoked meat was gone. We started blaming each other. Kene inspected Musa's lips. Musa became angry and they started throwing blows at each other. I was about to part them when Saido pointed to the tattered bag at the edge of the veranda. "This is the bag, right?" he said, pointing to its chewed edge. "This was not done by any of us. See? The bag is still tied." He showed it to us. "Something else ate the meat, and whatever ate this meat is still around somewhere." He picked up a stick and began walking toward the bushes. "You see, it wasn't me." Musa pushed Kene out of his way as he joined Saido. "It is some kind of animal," Moriba said, inspecting the prints the creature's feet had left on the ground. Some of us looked around the village, while others followed the tracks of the creature down the path to the river. We were about to give up looking when Saido shouted from behind the storage house in the village, "I found a thief and he's angry." We ran to see what it was. It was a dog munching on the last bit of the smoked meat. Upon seeing us, it began barking and guarding the meat with its hind legs. "You bad dog, that is ours." Elijah took the stick from Saido and started chasing the animal. The dog still held onto the last bit of meat as it disappeared among the bushes. With a shake of the head, Saido picked up the gallon of water and started heading down the path. We all followed him, Elijah still holding the stick. That afternoon, we began rummaging the bushes for whatever fruit looked edible. We didn't converse much as we walked. In the evening, we stopped to rest along the path. "I should have killed that dog," Elijah said slowly, as he rode on his back. "Why?" I asked. "Yes, why? What good would it have done?" Moriba sat up. "I just wanted to kill it because it ate the only food we had," Elijah angrily replied. "It would have made good meat," Musa said. "I don't think so. Plus, it would have been difficult to prepare it anyway." I turned to Musa, who was lying on his back next to me. "You guys disgust me just thinking about something like that," Juma spat. "Well," Musa stood up. "He's going to tell another story," Elijah sighed. Musa turned to Elijah. "Yes, well, not really a story." He paused and then continued. "My father used to work for these Malaysians, and he told me that they ate dogs. So if Elijah had killed that dog, I would have loved to try some. So when I see my father again, I can tell him how it tasted. And he will not be angry with me because I had a good excuse for eating dog meat," Musa concluded. We all became quiet, thinking about our families. Musa had triggered in all of us what we were afraid of thinking. Musa was home with his father in Matrujong when the attack took place. His mother had gone to the market to buy fish for the evening meal. He and his father had run toward the market and found his mother. But as they ran out of town, his mother had somehow been left behind. They realized that she wasn't with them only after they stopped for a rest at the first village they reached. His father cried and told Musa to stay there while he went to look for his wife. Musa told his father that he wanted to go back down the path with him. "No, my son, stay here and I will bring back your mother." As soon as his father left, the village was attacked and Musa ran away. He had been running ever since. Alhaji was at the river fetching water when the rebels attacked. He ran home, only to stand in front of the empty house shouting the names of his parents, two brothers and sister. Kene had escaped with his parents but lost his two sisters and three brothers in the chaos. He and his parents had jumped in a boat along with many others to cross the Jong River. When the boat reached the middle of the river, the rebels on shore began shooting at the people in the boat, and everyone panicked, causing the boat to capsize. Kene swam to the other side of the river as fast as he could. When he pulled himself ashore, he could see people drowning in the water screaming as they fought to stay afloat. The rebels laughed at the dying people. He had wept all night as he followed the survivors who made their way to a village down the river. There, people had told Kene that his parents had passed through. The hope of finding his family had kept Kene moving over the months.